Today, we're going to be looking more at why we call our leaders ministers of God, or why they should be, today on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principles and Policy, and here with me today is my Vice Chairman and good friend and author on this subject, Chuck Michaels.
Great to be here, Barry.
Great to have you here today, Chuck. As we were, if you joined us yesterday, we were talking a little bit about Romans 13, very famous passage, at least the first eight verses that we were discussing, which discusses how a Christian should look at civil government. And we said that there were three different ways that we know of, at least, and I'm sure that our listeners may come up with more different ways, but three main ways that people look at a Christian's relationship to civil government. The first is that, well, government slash politics is dirty, and so Christians should have no involvement in it whatsoever, should stay totally away from it. Almost an Anabaptist viewpoint, if you will, that there should be no intersection between the civil government and Christianity. Then there's another viewpoint which says, well, Romans 13 does guide us, and it tells us that, well, God created a civil authority, so we are to bow to them and be subject to them and do everything that they tell us to do because God ordained them. But then there's the third option, and that's what we've been talking about and what my co-host Chuck has written a paper on that you can find on our website at principledpolicy.com, talking about a Christian's relationship to Romans 13. And we'd left off yesterday with a couple of questions, and Chuck, I want you to get right into that today. We'll just we'll kind of take it up from there and discuss and keep moving forward with this.
Well, before I do that, I just want to mention the fact that that article appeared in our journal, or in the Gates Journal, which if you become a donor to the Institute, you can receive back copies and that kind of thing of the journal in the Gates Journal. So
that's right.
That is available online, but you can get printed copies for your own use for a number of different things. Now, that being said, one of the questions that was asked was about these definitions of good and evil and how the civil magistrate should respond. Well, first of all, from a Christian worldview perspective, good and evil have anchored definitions. These definitions are set in concrete, and they are completely based on the character of God as he reveals it in his written word, the Bible. And the fact is that a civil magistrate has the obligation, if as a servant of God, as it's laid out in Romans 13, of obedience and the following of those characteristics of God and emulating those characteristics of God and applying what is known as the sword, and that is the sword of justice. It's you know, the sword specifically is about the death penalty, but of course, civil magistrates don't just issue the death penalty, as we know from God's just character. There are different kinds of paybacks for different kinds of crimes. And most of it, really, in the Bible, there are only two punishments. One of them is restitution, and the other one is the death penalty. And so attempting to make God a God who no longer believes in the death penalty is just simply walking away from the rest of the Bible and basing it on a human feeling about what happened to Christ himself on the cross, which doesn't work.
Well, we also looked at this idea that our civil authorities, now we talked about this yesterday, that, you know, yes, those people who are in office, including President Barack Obama, including many of our congressional leaders, and including many of our state leaders, whether we like them or not, whether we agree with their policies or not, that in one sense, yes, they are, as Romans 13:1 says, they are ordained by God, that they derive their power, their governing authority, because of God's government of the universe to start with, and the fact that he created civil government. But that there are two purposes for civil authorities being placed there. One is for its proper purpose, which is they are ministers of God for you to good. That they are to reward those who do good. And of course, good is an objective standard based upon his word, the Ten Commandments. You know, if you're a careful student of the Bible, you will find that good and evil are very clearly defined in God's word. And so when we use the term good and evil in Romans 13, when talking about that he rewards good and he punishes evil, that those are not standards that the civil authority can decide for himself. Those are not, he can't make it up as he goes along. In other words, he has to be guided by the absolute truth of Scripture, of God's word. And I know for I just heard the recoil from many out in the audience that, oh, well, wait a minute, isn't that a mixing of the church and state? And isn't that illegal, or isn't that unconstitutional?
Well, let's face it, there is, even in reform circles, there is a false view of what's called the two kingdoms theology. And that is that God is God over both kingdoms. That is the
city of man and the city of God. Yes.
City of man and the city of God. Basically, that God operates as king of the church and king over civil government, but he does so in an entirely different manner over each of his realms.
So, in other words, God operates differently in areas that he himself created.
That's right. And that somehow his character must come through in his church, but doesn't necessarily have to come through in his governance of the civil sphere.
Well, and you know, in order to strike a little bit of a balance, because I don't want people walking away from here today saying, well, these guys think that you can be saved, you know, that salvation comes through politics. That's not what we're getting at here. But we are,
no, not at all.
What we're saying clearly is that God is who he says he is in his word. And he says that he changes not. And that, you know, that he does things from the beginning of time to the end of time. God never varies. There is no variance or variableness with God. And that he approaches each of these areas, these jurisdictions that he established, whether it be over us individually, over our families, over our church governments, or even over the civil sphere, which, yes, God did ordain himself, that he doesn't do it differently. Does God direct the family differently than he directs the church? Does he say it's okay for the family to engage in sinful activities but not for the church? Or is it okay for the church to ignore part of his word, but it's not okay for the family to do so? You see, that's I think we get into this situation when we look at this particular viewpoint that you're talking about, that we have a situation where we're trying to accede to the culture. We're trying to say, well, that's of the world. Well, honestly, when it gets right down to it, God created everything in the world. God created all of the institutions of the world. He gives them power. Romans 13 is clear. He gives authority to those, but he gives it to them to be ministers of God. Now, that's repeated at least three times in the first eight verses of Romans 13, that these individuals who are in civil governing authority positions are there, one, because God places them there, two, because they're to carry out God's instructions, and three, that they are his ministers, that they have a fiduciary duty to be faithful to what he says.
And let me be clear, too. What I said about the radical two kingdoms theology is a nutshell. This is a very complex subject. It's a very complex argument, but I have nutshelled it, and I have not done so unfairly. I have nutshelled it in the same way that I've heard an advocate of this nutshell it, and that is that God rules over both spheres, and he does so differently. He rules over each one differently. My argument back has always been, you'll need to prove that scripturally.
And that's a good place to be.
Yeah. And the fact is that no one is attempting to do that. They simply go on the presupposition. So if someone approaches you, there's nothing wrong with you. You know, if somebody says something about two kingdoms theology, okay, God deals differently with different spheres. Prove it, and prove it from the Bible. And the answer is they won't be able to. Now, that being said, at least from the argumentation I've seen, no one has proven it to me, just to be fair.
We also have to look, as we're looking at Romans 13, that, you know, it does say in verse 5 that we must be subject, not because of wrath, not because we're worried that they may do something bad to us, but for conscience sake. In other words, we are to be in a position of understanding that our conscience are bound to follow God's word and to follow those leaders. Now, again, it does put a responsibility on those civil authorities that they are to be ministers of God, for to take vengeance on evil and to reward good. Now, what we see mainly in society now, Chuck, in many instances in our governing authorities, is the tendency, because they want to supplant God's wisdom with man's wisdom, for everything to be turned upside down and for evil to be rewarded and good to be punished.
Well, all you have to do is go back to the Hitler illustration. Hitler was rewarding his henchmen who were murdering fellow human beings by the thousand for the simple act of having the accident of birth, being born into families who were of Semitic origin, or Slavic origin, or Gypsy origin. You know, there are any number of peoples that he didn't like. The same thing can be said for the United States of America. We have people who are being punished in this country, who the sword is being wielded against, who are performing the simple crime of attempting to get information out at abortion clinics. You know, Access to Clinics Act, those kinds of things that came out under the Clinton administration, and unfortunately the Bush administration did nothing to stop. It turns the whole definition of doing the right thing, of being a servant for your good, of a minister of God. And by the way, minister means a servant under authority, and that authority is the authority of God.
Yes.
It turns that definition on its head, that you are calling, woe be to those who call good evil and evil good. Well, in our government today, people who are trying to stop the abomination of abortion are being called evil, and the people who are trying to promote it are being called good. So
that's it. Now, I guess what it gets down to, Chuck, I mean, since we've talked about this in the past, and that is that, you know, we have a lot of people out there, probably a lot of folks in our listening audience, who would desire to have their elected officials to follow the Constitution. We hear that all the time. You follow, if they just followed the Constitution the way it was written. Well, I think there's even a higher calling for our elected officials, because, yes, it's important to follow the governing document of our country, the Constitution, but because they have been put in place as ministers of God, I feel it's even more important that they read and understand in its original context the Bible, because that is the great law book of the nations. That is where they're going to learn the definition of what is good and what is evil, and be able to judge rightly and rightly divide the word of truth, and also be those ministers of God. Because, you know, Chuck, for me, I tremble at the idea of an elected official who's supposed to be a minister of God, who is calling good evil and evil good, turning thinking upside down and worshiping the creation rather than the creator. But that's what we see oftentimes in our civil policy. And I fear, because each of those people, because they have been given that direct authority, that direct call in their lives, are going to have to answer for it before.
Oh, absolutely.
A just God.
And unfortunately, we are completely out of time, so I think we're going to have to continue this discussion tomorrow.
Okay, very good. Well, ladies and gentlemen, be back with us tomorrow afternoon at 5:30 for more on this discussion of a Christian involvement in politics and in government. We'll be back tomorrow with more Principles and Policies.
See you tomorrow.